White. Barbara Steele has just joined the call as well. We have apologies from Anil George, and Kevin Erdman will be 5 minutes late. Please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you.
I think there were a couple of other people who are in on Adobe but aren't dialed in, possibly.
Sorry, Michele, just to say that Matt Mansell has been replaced by Oliver Hope, who's currently on his two-week honeymoon.
Okay. Perfect. So is Matt? Did you say that Matt Mansell had dialed in, or?
No. He won't be joining. He is replaced by Oliver Hope, who's on a honeymoon at the moment. So Oliver Hope will be joining us in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Right then. Well, the first item I had on the agenda, apart from the obvious roll call, was the new member intros. But it looks to me like the couple of people who've joined us since Brussels aren't on the call. The only person I think who may not have had a chance to introduce themselves properly is George Kirikos. So, George, if you wanted to say a couple of words by way of introduction.
I'm the owner of Leap of Faith Financial Services, Inc. We own a bunch of high-quality domain names, including math.com, paper.com. Most of you probably know me from participating in ICANN processes in the last 5 or 10 years. So.
Okay. Thanks, George. Well, if the others ever actually join the call at the same time, we'll get them to just say hello to themselves, from themselves, rather. Okay, then. Several people, well, I think looking at the list here, most of you were actually at the meeting in Brussels, apart from Barbara, who joined us remotely. Who else? Let's look at the list here. I think that's everybody. I think Barbara was the only one who joined us remotely. Everybody else, I think, was there. Now, there's a slide up there on the Adobe Connect, which are some of the points that have been raised. That were raised at the meeting in Brussels in relation to the draft ETRP. So the list there is need for clearer terminology in relation to the ETRP. Marika, go ahead.
Yes, this is Marika. Sorry, I need to. A few seconds now with the mute on, mute off button. I just wanted to know, because these are the different points that I took from going through the transcript, basically picking on some of the points that maybe the group didn't cover before or that were discussed extensively during the meeting. But if anyone else feels there are any items missing that were raised during the call, they should feel free to add those to the list.
Okay. Perfect. So a couple of things. Need for clearer terminology. Urgent, as in some definition of that. Should we have a separate? Is a separate policy required, taking into account other options available, such as injunction? And does the incidence warrant a new policy? Are there sufficient safeguards? Abuse/misuse of the ETRP should be strongly penalised. The idea of ETRP is reactive as opposed to proactive. Some level of certainty. Should the system of locks be abolished altogether? And another point raises closer review of the indemnification provisions recommended. Now, George, you had your hand up?
Oh, I just want to add that I posted on the mailing list in between the meeting that an irrevocable transfer procedure might be another item to discuss and put on the agenda.
Okay.
That would be a constructive suggestion, I hope, that can satisfy.
Well, we're going to be working through several things. Apart from anything else, we'll work through the agenda we have today. And as you can see, Marika's adding that suggestion now to the list on the screen there in front of you, okay?
All right.
Now, if there's other things that people want to add, either add them, raise your hand now and add them now, or post them to the list. As per the email that Marika sent out earlier today, I think it was, the comment period has now been opened. So if you could let your friends, colleagues, next door neighbors, clients, whatever, colleagues, let them know that the comment period is open, and hopefully we will get some useful comments from more than one or two people. Yes, Marika? Marika?
Oh, yes, this is Marika. Sorry, I was again on the mute off, not hearing anything. No, what I just wanted to point out is that Glenn has already sent out the announcement as well to the council list and all the respective constituencies and other mailing lists that that she has access to. So from our side, we've done our best as well in trying to get the message out and encouraging people to provide input during the comment period.
Perfect. Thank you. So does anybody have any suggestions on how we can get more people to provide input? Obviously, we won't get the same level of input as ICM Registry got for their comment period, but if anybody has any suggestions on how we can get more people to provide input, I'd love to hear it. And deathly silence landed on the call.
Yeah, McKaylee, this is Bob Mountain.
Yep.
Didn't raise my hand, but would you like a suggestion?
Yes, that was the idea. Come on.
Okay.
Giving away free sake, by the way, is not advisable.
Well, that'd be a good thing anyways, regardless. One idea I had just going through the agenda was perhaps, assigning or asking for volunteers to tackle some of these issues and just report out the following week, make suggestions, kind of work offline, sort of mini groups or individuals. And, I'd be happy to pick one of those up if that was if people agree with that suggestion.
So which items you talk about? The ones on the screen in front of you at the moment?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. The general thing I was just trying to get at is if people could let other people, their clients, their colleagues, their friends or whatever, know that the comment period is open so we can get as much feedback as possible. So the last time we opened the comment period on this, I think we got maybe half a dozen comments or something. Marika, how much did we get the last time? She's probably on mute, so it could be waiting a second for her to reply.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, it's a real pain, this star six. I think the last time we had 3 comments, if I remember correctly.
Right, so it wasn't exactly the most popular comment period ever.
Yeah, and as Rick, I mean, it's, if you compare it to the previous IRTP public comment period, this is, it's a very specific issue and indeed not a XXX kind of discussion that goes much wider. The amount of comments received tend to be limited, but at least I hope we can encourage the different constituencies and stakeholder groups to provide their input and feedback on the the draft recommendations that are being put forward.
Bob has his hand up again. Marika, maybe you should just leave yourself not on mute this time for the moment.
Yeah, then I just hope you don't get too much background noise, but as that happens,
okay.
I'll quickly press star 6.
Okay, no problem. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, certainly in the aftermarket, there's a number of very widely read blogs, Mike Birkins, as George as well, and others along those lines. Perhaps we could reach out to them and ask them to publicize this, and I'm sure you'd get some comments from that channel.
Okay, good idea. If any of you have any contacts with those people, please, drop them an email or ping them or whatever method you use just to let them know. So, I mean, the thing from my perspective as group chair is I don't want people turning around in 3 or 4 months' time going, oh, you had a comment period and you never let us say our word. Because I don't think that's being reasonable. Anybody else have any other ideas? George and then Michael.
George here. I posted on the various domain boards, like DN Forum, Domain State, and some private boards already, and I've reached out to various bloggers and registrars that are going to be affected by this policy, and I think they're waiting for my comments to appear, which will hopefully be by the end of next week, and then that'll maybe spur some additional people to comment, because they're not going to probably read the primary documents. They're going to read, you know, summaries of it.
Okay, I mean, I know one thing, George, so just bear in mind that there are other points in the document apart from the ETRP.
I know.
Okay, just because I know you have strong feelings about the ETRP, but there are a couple of other ones which you don't seem to have had much reaction from anybody about. Matt is saying that... that he sent it on to the registrar group. James mentioned that the two of the comments on IRTP were actually spam. We probably picked up on a .XXX comment or something, knowing our luck. Okay, then. Now, with regard to how we're going to proceed moving forward here... the comment period is open for, is it 30 days or 20 days, Marika?
It is 20 days.
Okay, perfect.
That's prescribed in the ICANN bylaws. I mean, there is an option if you really think that at the end of the period there's still groups that need more time or, you know, haven't submitted them their comments and you know, we want to leave it open for a little bit, there might be an opportunity to just leave it open for a little bit more, but, you know, we try to stick to the 20 days normally.
No, that's fine. I mean, I think the last time when we were waiting on the stakeholder groups, I mean, some it became obvious that some were going to submit comments and others, no matter how much we cajole them, weren't. Okay, is somebody ringing? Hello?
Isn't there a control panel for the...
There is. I don't
presenter can see who's talking.
But I have no idea what that is. Okay. Now, looking at the other areas of the of this PDP. Okay, the ETRP has received quite a bit of feedback at both via email, on various calls, and I suspect we will get quite a bit during the public comment period. Does anybody have any feelings about any of the other points that we're meant to be addressing?
Kelly, this is James.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think, you know, and forgive me, I haven't had a chance to dig into the reports as deeply as I'd like to, but I think that there are a few charter issues that maybe deserve a little bit more of an attention or spotlight that they've been kind of been suffering from a lack of attention, perhaps because of the...
we say lack of TLC, James.
Yeah, lack of TLC based on... so much of the activity on ETRP. So, you know, I would recommend that in the interim between receiving, you know, while the comment period is open and while we're analyzing those, which are sure to be very heavily weighted on ETRP, that we take a look at the non-ETRP charter questions and make sure we've thoroughly addressed them. So that would be one suggestion.
Okay. George?
Yeah, I think we should go over all the five questions because ETRP is just one proposal to address the questions, but the basic question, if you look at number one, whether a process should be developed, that's, you know, a fundamental question, which I don't think has been properly addressed, and requires more statistical analysis.
Okay. Let's say A and B, arguably, we've done something with them, but the one that we haven't really looked at all, which is what James mentioned, like C, D, and E, we have done something, but nobody seems to have either said, yay, that's great, or, oh, my God, that's terrible. So, for example, issue C, whether special provisions are needed for a change of registrant near a change of registrar. Does anybody have any feelings about that? George?
Yes. When it's the special provisions, I'm assuming that's compared to the status quo. Like right now, there's no provisions, except that some registrars on an ad hoc basis are locking the domain name when that occurs. Perhaps more clarity from ICANN as to whether that's permitted or not would be a special provision, or whether it's, you know, something that the work group could comment on. But it also opens up the question whether special provisions are needed for any change of registrant, whether it's occurring near a transfer or not, because I think the whole basis of the transfer group is basically domain security. And so whether it's a domain transfer externally or internally within a registrar, that's, I think, something that the work group might want to take on.
Okay. James, and then Marika. But let Marika go first, since she's a lady.
Thanks, Michaela. This is Marika. Just to note on George's point on checking with compliance or legal, actually in the early discussions of the working group, there was the same question, and the response from compliance was circulated to the group, and I'm happy to dig that email out and resend that to the list so people can see that response, which basically stated that it wasn't in contradiction to the current policy as it stands.
Okay, if you wouldn't mind resending that, Marika, because I think that was probably sent out to us months and months and months ago, and
yes.
Trying to find it amid a sea of emails might be hard. James?
Yes. I didn't really come prepared to dive into the material elements of this issue, but I did want to raise 2 points relative to change of registrant. My company is known for, I think, being extremely cautious in this area, particularly when it occurs in conjunction with a password change or a transfer, because it usually is a good indication that something amiss is going on. But with regard to a change of registrant, I think it's important to note that this function is not defined in all of the ICANN policies and circles. Some country codes have a very good process for doing this. But they are, in some respects, if you look at CIRA for .ca, they have some knowledge of change of registrant because the registry itself is maintaining contact with the registrant. But 2 points I wanted to make about change of registrant. So the first one is that it's really not a defined function. We have functions for updating your address, your email, your fax number, et cetera, and whois, but we really don't have a function for, a wholesale change of a registrant. And the second point is that that it opens up some interesting legal concerns. And I think for folks on the call that maybe lawyers, maybe they can help me get my mind around this. But, if you have a registration agreement accepted by a party that binds a registrar and a registrant, then a registrant changing to another registrant in a sense, is a unilateral transfer of that agreement to a third party who may or may not have explicitly accepted that agreement. So I think that's something to, bear in mind on this issue. And, we built this entire, this aftermarket has kind of evolved, but, there's this missing piece, I think, that is causing us both a lot of frustration and a lot of security vulnerabilities, because we're really not sure how to formally and explicitly change the registrant of an active name.
Okay, thank you. George?
George here. I'm not a lawyer, but I think on a legal basis, what the registrant change really is an assignment of an existing contract. If you look at the registration itself as a contract between the registrar and the registrant, All we're simply doing is assigning that agreement to somebody else when we change the registrant. And so I think, and this also goes to people trying to change the registration agreement or forcing opt-in procedures on the new registrant. The reason why I oppose the 60-day hold of GoDaddy, for example, on a registrant change is that you're putting the new registrant in a worse off position than the original registrant. If you're simply doing an assignment of the agreement itself, then that registrant, that new registrant, should be in the same position.
How do you mean that they're in a worse position, George? Could you explain, please?
Okay, the original registrant, let's say I have a domain, example.com at GoDaddy, and I can transfer it to any registrar. You know, it's past the 60-day creation date. I can transfer it to two cows whenever I want. Now, let's say I assign that agreement from myself to Corporation B. Corporation B, if they're in the exact same position as I was before, they should be able to transfer it to two cows or Monica or whatever equally as well as I was before. Now, GoDaddy's arguing, for example, that people are opting into this additional term that they have to agree as part of a registrant change, that they have to keep it at GoDaddy for 60 days. That's where I disagree, because if we look at the ICANN rights people have, the registrant has the right to transfer it, say, after the 60-day creation period. Can we simply rewrite all the rights that ICANN gives us? I think not, because even though the contract says you can opt in to a higher level of security, for example, you should also be able to opt out of that at any time, assuming the authentication is there. But a totally different example, let's say the U.S. Constitution outlaws slavery. Conceive of that, I could write a contract that permits somebody to be my slave for, 30 days. But that would be kind of an illegal contract, because they have a more fundamental, higher contract that says, slavery is illegal. So to that extent, I think that the ICANN rule that, you can transfer after any time after the 60-day creation period should trump whatever opt-in procedure, because it's not truly opt-in if you can't opt out of it equally well.
Okay, let's see if James wants to come back on that. He's got his hand up. James?
Yeah, real quickly, it is an opt-in contract, and the way to opt out of it, George, is very specific on the site. It says if you are about to transfer this name, the way to get around this lock is to transfer it first and then conduct the change of registrant at the new registrar. So we provide a recipe, if you will, for how to ensure that you are not inadvertently opting in to this lock. But secondly, you mentioned something kind of interesting. You mentioned that that the registrant is assigning this registration agreement to a new party. My question is, does the registrar have any say, or are they just supposed to unilaterally accept that? Do they have no right of refusal to that assignment?
George?
Yeah, I'd like to respond to those 2 points. The first procedure that you outlined is actually what I've been doing and what lots of people have been doing, because they don't want to be trapped by that rule. And so we're caught by the ETRP because, we wouldn't be subject to the ETRP right now there's, the transfer from, say, GoDaddy to 2000 or GoDaddy moniker is irrevocable.
That's not true, George. There's already
a ETRP, but there's at least subject to due process. But for all intents and purposes, it's irrevocable. If it's, there's no fraud or anything. If it's talent, there's due process. But by introducing the ETRP, you can't do that process anymore in a secure manner. Basically, the person would be able to claw it back without any due process. So it really affects the secondary market. Because if that procedure to avoid the opt-in was allowed and the ETRP didn't exist, that would basically be the way it is now, which most people are happy. Second thing, whether the registrar has the right to not permit the transfer, but you should treat the new registrant equally as well, not worse than any prior registrant. Basically, you can say, take it or leave it. You can be our client on the same terms or not be our client at all, in which case, transfer it to another registrar. In other words, this policy shouldn't be used to lock in registrants to a registrar they don't want to be at.
But using the same logic, surely... Now, I'm not defending GoDaddy, but just following your logic. If I initiate a contract with GoDaddy, then when I initiate that contract, I have to stay with them for the first 60 days. So if as a new registrant with GoDaddy for an existing domain, and I start a contract with them, and you're saying that I should be bound by the same terms as the previous registrant, shouldn't I be held for the first 60 days as well?
George here, that 60 days counts on the creation date of the domain name. Let's say it was 1995. After that, that 60-day period isn't an ICANN obligation at all, at least for docs.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it is, but I mean, you said that you're talking about the client being bound to the same terms.
Right, but that term had an end date. Let's say you transferred it into GoDaddy on January 1st, 2010. That 60 days would elapse on.
I'm extrapolating away from the domain. I'm talking about if you sign a contract with me for a dedicated server, just say for argument's sake, forget about domains.
Right.
Under the terms of the contract, once you've agreed to the contract, we've executed the contract, you would have to give me, let's say, 60 days' notice to terminate the contract. Okay? That's the contract that you've entered into with me, and we've executed the contract. If I transfer the contract or you transfer the contract to a third party, they're going to inherit the same conditions.
Right. But the thing is, that 60-day clock would have already expired, unless you're... See, the thing is, they want to restart the clock every time there's a change, just like before, where they were, you know, on any registrant change, they were resetting the clock, and I can say, you know, bad, you can't do that. And so now they have new wording saying you're obligated to.
That's fine. I was just trying to understand the logic. That's okay. All right, Kevin's now on the call. Okay, then. Now, what I would suggest, rather than spending too much time on this today, because I can see that a lot of you probably aren't fully prepared for this. What I would suggest is the common period is open for the next couple of weeks. What we will not discuss until the common period closes. Let's leave issues A and B alone for the moment. And if we can concentrate instead on issues C, D, and E for the next couple of weeks, as these are issues that we haven't probably given as much care and attention to over the last few months. Now, if anybody has any strict opposition to this, please voice it now, but I think that would be a sane way to work moving forward. Does anybody have any thoughts? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just wanted to note it might be helpful then as well for everyone to review the information that's contained on these issues in the issues report, and if it would be helpful, I'm happy to send that out in separate threads on the email, so people have that background information from where to start the discussions as well.
Marika, would you just recirculate it, just because apart from anything else, it'll help to refresh my memory. And we've also, don't forget, we've also got a couple of people who joined the group in the last couple of weeks who may need to just be brought up to speed if they haven't brought themselves up to speed.
Yeah, that's what I can do. I can circulate the issues report and then maybe highlight the pages that address the different issues so people can, you know, take it out for themselves and review them if needed.
Okay, perfect. And as George is saying, George has just provided a link there to the wiki, and also saying it's on the wiki, which is very true. Now, does anybody else have any other matters that they want to raise at this juncture? Okay. What I would suggest, then, is that we look at those other issues, as I said. Those of you who have any any influence within your own stakeholder groups, please encourage the stakeholder groups or individual members of the stakeholder groups to submit comments in the common period. And go, Bob, yes?
Yeah, just is there a summary that the group is comfortable with and that, you know, with the positioning that we could send out to, and I think, you know, per George's comment, I think giving something for people to react to as opposed to a link to the entire report might prompt...
if you want to paraphrase it a small bit, feel free, Bob.
Yeah, I was going to do that, but in the absence of doing that, has someone already done that, I guess is the question, that is this something that we could reuse? Otherwise, I'm happy to do it.
I'm not sure. Does anybody know of anything like that? Marika?
This is Marika. I mean, you can just take the executive summary, which to a certain extent tries to summarize the different issues and discussions. So that might be a starting point. And also to point out that, you know, we've had the executive summary translated in the five UN languages. So if you know of anyone that would be interested to review it, maybe in their own language, you know, before commenting, that's available as well on the ICANN site.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And in the kind of the spirit of dealing with people who I know who have been on conference calls since 2 o'clock this morning, not looking at James, I will then wrap call this meeting to an end unless anybody has anything else they want to raise at this minute. Going once, going twice.
This is yes. Marika. Just to confirm, next week, same time.
Yes. Oh no, I mean, we're not changing the timetable unless somebody really, really wants it changed, and even then I think it's going to cause headaches. Okay, so without further ado, I will speak to you all next week, and if anybody has anything pressing, please use the list. Post to the list. Talk to you all again next week.
Thank you, McKelly.
Thanks.
Thanks, McKelly.
Thanks.
Take care.